The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, well, welcome. Lovely to be here with you all. And this is the third talk on the five faculties or the five powers. And the first talk was sort of an introductory overview. Last week we talked about the first of the five, and tonight we'll talk about the second of the five. Last week we talked about the faculty of faith, which can also be thought of as trust and or confidence, and it can grow and develop over time and with practice. Tonight, the second factor is energy. And this is, to me, this is an exciting, I love them all, actually. I love these five faculties a lot. This one, too, has a place dear in my practice, actually. It's been an important place to work with, a fruitful place to work. So, these, you know, five faculties, I'm just going to say a little bit of another frame or a simile that's kind of describing them, is of five horses climbing a mountain. And the horses would be placed with mindfulness would be in the lead. And then side by side, you would find faith and wisdom. And then you would find energy and calm or concentration. So mindfulness out in the lead, right, is helping us notice where we are, what's going on, being clear, seeing things, you know, noticing the path. And then trust, you know, or faith or confidence, whichever word resonates for you, right, is so important because it actually, we need this faith, we need this trust or this confidence to even set out on the journey. We wouldn't leave if we didn't have some sense of aspiration, faith, and confidence. So it's so important, and it's heart-opening, which is also incredibly important for our practice. We need the heart to be open for our practice to progress with kindness. Otherwise, we are maybe out of balance, right? And the wisdom beside, you know, the faith is to keep the faith from becoming unhelpful, right? The delusional faith or this just, oh, I'll just wish for it and it'll happen, right? This sort of not understanding that we need to bring all of ourselves into this practice. And that it requires not just faith, but energy, right? Effort. So we've got mindfulness, we've got faith, we've got energy, and then concentration, calm, serenity. So all of these qualities to describe a settledness. In the suttas, there's a beautiful analogy. Where was I? the sutta. Thank you. Calm. In the similes, there's the suttas with still calm water, and you know it's sort of progressively still. So there'll be a calm, cool lake with, you know, water flowing into it, and then a calm, cool lake with just the springs from the bottom of the lake bubbling up, and then calm, cool lake, nothing's moving, right? And so there's just this idea of a progressive stillness and calm in our practice. And it is as we get, you know, calmer and calmer, there's more and more stillness. And with the increased stillness, this is where the word concentration comes. There's more clarity. It's easier to see clearly how the mind is operating. So these, and then wisdom, right? So this is the last of the five. You know, this is, it's our practice. We need to be awake and attending in our practice to learn, to see, to understand. We're not just doing effort blindly. We're not just having faith blindly. This is a whole system, whole process that we're engaging. So this dynamic image of these horses and, you know, the balance between them, and they're all syncing up together, and that's when they start to become power. They go from faculties, which are normal, average, everyday things, all of these things you can say, I have faith, I have concentration, I have wisdom. And then, but as we kind of harness them, as we cultivate them, and as we sit, really, this happens more on a retreat, where they start to really grow. And it's like horses running together, right? There's just, they're carrying each other. There's this momentum, this flow, this movement, this power that starts to just really carry us along on the way, on this path. So these five powers, Indriya, Bala, are really just, to me, beautiful. Just beautiful. So having said that, let's shift into meditation. And maybe if this is inspiring to you, you can imagine that, one, first, connect with, oh, I'm going to sit. Okay, so there's some trust in you, some confidence, some faith that sitting has power. Sitting has some force in our lives that is moving us in a direction toward freedom, I hope you feel. So just connecting with this. And then noticing if it supports energy arising. Oh, yes. There's this, oh, yes. Possible of an, oh, yes. And with that yes can be an uplift in the spine, an uplift in the energy. And then just bringing in some deep breaths here. And receiving this flow of energy, honoring this trust or confidence or faith. And then we settle in a few breaths, and mindfulness starts to grow. We start to catch up to the present moment or slow down into this present moment. Paying attention on purpose, here and now, with this heart quality and with this energy. And maybe try a three-breath journey, seeing if you can really feel and follow the flow of the breath at every little stage. Any pausing, noticing the flowing and the transition from in to out or out to in, like riding a wave, staying connected, three breaths in a row. And at any point in your meditation tonight, if you find that the waters are stirred up, you might consider another three-breath journey and see if it helps you calm and collect, growing the mindfulness, stilling the waters. And then being aware of the impact, which is where we grow the wisdom. noticing what's happening and how we're relating to it and the impact of how we're relating to it. Noticing our effort and the impact of that effort. One breath at a time. I'm going to need to let my energy build back up in a different way here after sitting, right? Just noticing for me, oh yeah, I had a lot of energy, right? When I was talking before the sit-in, now it's like, oh. So virya is a Pali word for energy, and it means sort of there's energy that will arise in our being as we practice. And there's different kinds of it and amounts of it, but it literally will start to like flow through us. There's also energy as part of the Eightfold Path. Wise effort, right, is energy. And that is about really cultivating the wholesome and letting go, you know, and avoiding the unwholesome. The effort is all about that. So there's an analogy that someone offered, you know, in The Little Prince, the book The Little Prince. And so every morning after waking, he'd call the dangerous baobabs from the harmless rose or radish seedlings, right? Every morning the little prince would pull the weeds, knowing that, you know, they were the seeds for something that are massive trees that would grow and overtake the planet. So in the same way, we tend to our roses in the practice and we pull out the seeds that become weeds or overgrowing or overtaking. And so this effort, you know, that we put into our practice is to really pay attention to, like, okay, this is loving kindness, or this is gratitude, or this is generosity. Ah, only I appreciate this. This is well-being. It brings a sense of uplift to the heart. And okay, appreciating, taking it in, encouraging it. And then there's, you know, oh, I'm so angry. I'm hateful. I'm bitter. I'm resentful. Oh, this is a weed that needs to be let go of. This is something that is unwholesome, that's causing me pain and suffering and others potentially as well. So we work to kind of recognize with mindfulness the wholesome and the unwholesome, and then we actively engage in ways to diminish, devalue, let go of the unwholesome, and support the arising of the and cultivation of the wholesome and the sustaining of the wholesome. This the Sanskrit term virya, energy, is a derivative of vir, which means to overcome. It's a nice kind of way to think about it. And this also kind of brings to mind and really requires some courage and bravery. One of the things we have to be courageous about is turning toward our weeds. Turning toward them, acknowledging them instead of running away, hiding, ignoring. And you know, our weeds are often deeply ingrained patterns and habits. They're not easy to be with. They're not easy to pull out of the ground. I think, what are the obstacles to cultivating our energy, to, you know, supporting this wholesome flow of energy for our well-being and for our practice? I think that we were really sort of talking about that last week as well. We were talking about, I asked the question, oh, so if this is trust or faith, what might be the opposite of it? You know, we came up with words like anxiety, fear, you know. And so what would be an obstacle? What would be the opposite of energy? And what might be, well, we know the opposite of energy, but what might be an obstacle to cultivating energy? And for me, again, kind of already implied this, but fear, right? And anxiety, worry, are often big obstacles, and our avoidance, our tendency to want to not be with what is uncomfortable, wanting to avoid what is uncomfortable. Whether we want to alter ourselves in some way to feel better, or whether we just want to run away and hide. When we try and avoid, we are really turning away from life. We are really turning away from presence, and life and presence is where energy is. Some other maybe things to think about are shame, right? How shame can block our energy. And fixed views. We might have very fixed, rigid ideas about things that sort of stop our mind from opening up, stop our mind from seeing possibility. So recognizing what are our obstacles, what are the obstacles for me to faith and to energy? How do I recognize them, and then how do I work with them? How do I skillfully engage with them? And the main tool we need to do this recognition and understanding is mindfulness. To be aware, to see, to turn toward. And I say that, you know, I heard myself say that, and I'm like, yeah, it sounds so simple, but, you know, I really love this analogy of the five horses. Because for me, mindfulness is about this cultivation of multiple factors in the mind. It's not just this flat thing by itself. It actually arises out of the effort, the faith, the wisdom, right? The calmness, the concentration, right? It arises out of our practice, mindfulness, or, you know, because of how we turn toward. Now, another interesting thing to think about is I talked about, you know, concentration and energy being two kind of supporting things. But faith also supports energy. Because faith is this, you know, one, energy arises out of faith. But also faith implies this heart opening. And if we don't have a sensitivity, if we aren't being sensitive to the impact of our effort, what do we do? Oh. We either do nothing, or we strive, right, too hard, we're too rigid, we're too pressured, and that is not helpful practice. Then we sit down to meditate. If we're not trying, we're just relaxing. Okay, I have faith. Mindfulness will arise. We probably are just practicing daydreaming in our meditation. And if we bring too much effort without some softness, without some tenderness, we might get into trying to create things. We might get into efforting, striving in ways that create, maybe recreate the perfectionistic mindset. Who likes to be perfectionistic here? What happens when you try to be a perfectionist? Things get brittle. It doesn't work. We crash. We get hurt. Or we hurt others, or both, right? So we need all of these forces to keep balancing each other. It's just this beautiful, for me, just this beautiful dance. And this is what happens. We got to, maybe you notice this in your meditation. Maybe you notice, oh, I'm drifting off and I need to bring a little more energy here, you know? Or, you know, maybe you notice, oh, maybe this isn't so skillful and you brought in some wisdom and it helped you. Okay, well, maybe I'll do a 3-breath journey here. You know, so we're using all of these capacities, cultivating, growing them, and they're helping each other. And if any one of them gets out of line, you know, gets too big or too small, it affects the whole flow. So noticing and staying attuned to them is very, very helpful. Another really beautiful quality of attending to energy for me is that it's sort of like, okay, I need to use a certain amount of energy to ring the bell, right? So I'm going to come over, and I don't want to hit it too loud, right? Because I don't want to startle you. Oh, not quite loud enough. Not quite enough energy, but right away, feedback. Immediate feedback from the bell about the strength. Oh, that was too hard, right? So it just, this is for me how with practice, if we're attending to how much energy we're putting in, there will be some feedback. And it might be, you know, okay, I'm just drowsy, so I got to put more energy. And then, you know, in the beginning, just like if you think about horses drawing a carriage, we don't start off running, right? The horse carriage doesn't start off running. It's like walking, getting, you got to get the carriage moving, right? So in the beginning, it takes more effort. Oof, right? Oh, especially if it's ruts in the road or you're on a hill, you know. And then, you know, the landscape changes or the momentum of the wheels rolling and the weight of the horses and the cart start to create a momentum. And so it's not as much of a oof, but if we aren't paying attention, we're still doing the oof of trying to get going. Right? So there's this, it's this dance, this beautiful dance of kind of attuning. And then we get going and we find a good, you know, gallop, you know, or trot, canter, finding the pace that's right for the also for the landscape. Because if it's, you know, downhill, we don't want to be running downhill, right? Or if it's uphill, we can't sustain a tremendous running effort. We have to figure out another pace in a way. So this is a bit about how we need to be attending to our whole system and how it's responding and moving along in our practice. Nothing can happen without energy. Life doesn't happen without energy. Absolutely essential. This is another beautiful part of these five faculties, is they're so mundane. It's so necessary. Yet, when we have energy, it's like life, right? It's like, wow, we can feel so alive when the flow is there, when the energy is there, and the mind is clear. There's a book called The Five Faculties, Five Factors, by a Jewish. He lives in Israel, and he's a Buddhist teacher, Theravada teacher, and he says this: consider the image. Yes, with energy. Consider the image of energy as a tree. Physical energy is the roots. Psychological energy, the trunk. Emotion, such as joy, enthusiasm, and love, are the branches. And spiritual energy is the crown of the rustling leaves opening to the sky. And I love this because there are all these, not just energy, but there are many forms of the energy. And the thing is that as we get going in our practice, we're not doing the energy anymore. Energy's doing us. The energy is building and growing and bubbling up in its own way. And we need that kind of deep, deep energy that comes from a well within. Somehow we tap into this root source energy that just flows through our being. And Sayadaw Utejaniya, he's a Burmese monk. He has this quote that's really beautiful and speaks to this kind of energy. He says, "We always need to remember the difference between personal exertion and Dharma taking over. As long as we are striving, as long as we are trying, we believe that we are the ones that produce the input that creates the result. But when Dharma takes over, there is no trying to get anywhere. There is just a doing of what is necessary." And that is huge shift that happens when we stop feeling like we're the doer. When we stop feeling, me, I'm doing this, I'm making this happen. It's all about studying the causes and conditions and the things that are, you know, what's wholesome, what's unwholesome, and what happens, and, you know, when we are cultivating wholesome. Well, good states, do I make myself happy? No. I do things that cultivate happiness. And I do things, you know, support the conditions for energy in my practice to arise. So, any questions or comments about this microphone? I was just so clear, right? Crystal clear. Okay. So I'll read you a poem, short poem, and then we'll do breakout groups. So this is from Rosemary Traumer. It's called A Different Holding Pattern. If I am to hold the world in my heart, then let me hold it the way leaves hold sunshine. Trapping the energy not for the sake of holding it, but to transform it into nourishment. Though the process isn't simple, it's common. All around the globe, in every season, leaves hold and synthesize whatever the day gives them. On a day when the energy of the world seems too much to hold, let me bid my heart turn like a leaf to the sun and make sugar. The way Rilke turned grief into sonnets, the way Sibelius turned war into song. So I'll just say one more piece about this idea here of the Dhamma taking over. The simplest other translation for me is its nature. Sort of like gravity keeps us on the planet and the way the body knows how to digest food. Like, it's nature. It happens. The body knows how. Our system knows how. This is the Dhamma. If we set up the conditions, things will flow. All right. So, breakout group. Okay. So you can continue, but usually there's uneven amounts of time different groups need for the introduction. So I'm going to just interrupt and say, here's your first question. So you can move into this after you've finished introducing, if you haven't finished. I think what I'd like you to start with is, how do you skillfully work with the things that are coming up that are obstacles to your faith and to your energy? Like, what? How do you skillfully work with things? You know, you can name what the obstacles are for you. Doubt, anxiety, fear, you know, whatever it is for you that you think is an obstacle. And just share a little bit about how can I skillfully work with this? And maybe I'm just thinking here, if the first go round is just naming obstacles, each person name 2, 5, 10 obstacles, just sort of a list, you know, whatever it is. And then the second go round was just whichever one you want to talk about, one or two, how do you work with it skillfully, or how have you seen it work with skillfully, or what do you think might be helpful? And so share a few sentences. Not too long, because you want to let the next person share a little and add. You don't have to say it all. Just a little bit, and let somebody add, and then somebody else will add, and go around a couple of times like that. Okay? Great. I'd like you to just sit back for a minute, feel into your body, and just sort of notice, what do you feel now? What's happened to your energy, your faith, trust, or confidence based on this exploration and sharing? What about your wisdom? Does it feel reinforced? You know, where is what you've been doing here? How is that impacting the five faculties for you right now? So what I want to invite you to do is, in a mindful way, in a meditative way, go around one at a time, and I'll ring a bell maybe every minute. And each person, just mindfully out loud, sort of connect with each of the five faculties and say a few words about what you're aware of with them in you right now, how they've been impacted, how you might be inspired, or what you might want to tune into. Does that make sense? Is that good instruction for you? The five faculties: faith, energy, mindfulness. Now, we haven't covered mindfulness, calm, and wisdom yet, so it's okay if you don't have a lot to say about them, but you can notice if they're there, right? Notice if you have calm, or if you feel like you're growing wisdom or mindfulness. Is that okay? Is that a good invitation? Okay. And I'll do a bell ringing about every minute to keep it moving so you get all the way around. Okay, coming back together. Thank you, partners. Thank you, Dharma friends. Yeah. So I wonder if anyone would be willing to kind of say what your takeaway is from tonight. You know, any little thing that you might want to take away and practice with. Practice with. Stand up, Richard. Maybe walk that way. Put it under somebody's nose. I don't know. Anybody willing? Nicole. The spokesperson for the group.
You can do it.
Well, we came to this conclusion that this group practice is really helpful, and it gives us some... first of all, we learn from each other, and then we come totally from different, understanding of the five faculties, and then we try to bring it to the discussion, and it's been very... It's just really nice, and I myself get this energy to be mindful of what's going on with me, and this awareness is aware of everything that goes on with me in my mind, my body, and then bringing these concepts of five faculties that I really like to learn. I just feel like connected with these five, but I need practice. I really need to understand it. So I bring it to my whole being, my whole awareness.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Nicole.
And then I have to mention one thing that she talked about. you can explain it this soon.
I just said that when the negative thoughts that come into my brain when I'm trying for them not to come into my brain, I've never... done a dating app, but I've seen people with a dating app.
Oh, the swipe.
And so the swipe. And so that's my... I just swipe that one away. But I also try to replace it with a positive. So whatever it was, I do the opposite of that.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Jackie. I love it. Anybody else want to add anything? Tracy.
Thank you. What I notice, and I notice it every time, is that we have an awful lot in common. When you sit here all by yourself and you think, I'm the only one that has these problems. But when I talk to people in these groups, I find out that we all kind of, have fears and self-doubt, and it's just something that is part of us that we need to figure out how to deal with.
Beautiful. I'm so grateful to hear that. Really, that normalizing, and you're not alone. And so very well, very good. So may energy and faith carry you along this week, and be your steady companions, and notice how now last week was like the faith. Well, notice the energy that follows, and so now we've got the faith and the energy. Now notice the mindfulness, how it supports, this energy and the faith, just those two, how they support being mindful and aware. And may we all bring more awareness, mindfulness into our lives, and move through life with mindfulness, and spread mindfulness through the whole planet. So thank you all for your practice.